Everybody, this is Vic Mars, and you're watching CMS TV.
Welcome to another week, my friends.
Hello, everybody.
You.
What is going on?
As you can see, the country is burning behind me, as per usual. Man, like, I know we have a big show today, and some of it's going to be fun. And, you know, in fact, I don't like talking politics with our guests down the line, but I'm going to anyways. I was watching our campuses literally burn to the ground.
Oh, stop.
As we start the show today, you know, with the riots and protests, if you want to call them that, all across this country against, you know, in support of terrorism. So, I mean, I guess that's good. Now, most likely, I'm hoping that our guest doesn't hang up on me for saying what I've got to say. But it is what it is, man. You literally have college kids who are supposed to be learning, who are dumber than a box of fucking rocks out there protesting and supporting terrorism. So good for them. And you know what? It's spreading throughout the suburbs as well. I went out to dinner the other night, and I'm parking my car, and I see a woman who is walking with her small children and wearing a sweatshirt in support of terrorists. So, I mean, it's good. Now you go out to dinner and support terrorism.
It doesn't mean you have to.
Welcome to the land of the free, I guess. You know, that's what our men and women died for, coming up on the anniversary of D-Day. I'm sure that the greatest generation would be very proud as to where their grandchildren and the way their grandchildren have turned out. I'm sure they were very excited about the way this country is headed. Maybe it's a good thing that most of them have long since passed, because this is certainly not what they fought for. Like, I understand you have the right to protest. I understand you have the right to free speech and all that other crap. But you should goddamn respect the country that makes you money and a country that supports you and that you live in. You don't like it, get out.
Look, as someone that served, I'm happy that people show their ass, because then I at least know who they are. Right. I'm happy about that. Look, it would be worse if people were afraid to say what they think. Now, do I agree with any of it? Absolutely not. Of course I don't. You know, of course I don't want to see that. But at the same time, sometimes you just got to look past the dopes and get to the good people.
I understand what you're saying. And I also, again, support – look – it's your right to protest in this country. You have that right. You have the right to say what you want to say. But these are the same assholes that are, yelling and screaming and shouting down the conservative side when they go to their campuses and won't let them talk. They want to be heard, but they don't want to let other people be heard. And I don't believe in that kind of country. That's not what I...
I'm curious if you think, and I'm going to put your dad's quote here just because I'm genuinely curious. Do you think in the 70s, which is the glorious age of protesting, do you think in the 70s that the other side, whatever the other side was to whatever side you were on or your dad was on or, you know, people were on, do you think that they wanted to hear what the other side had to say as well?
Look, I don't know. I wasn't around for that. From what I've read, I mean, look, protests.
I think it's
different.
The same. I think it's the same.
But we weren't protesting for terrorism back then. That's not what we were protesting for. That's not what this country was protesting for. There was a war going on that people didn't agree with and didn't think that we should be a part of.
True.
This, however, is terrorism.
Well, there's a war going on over there.
Hamas went into a country and slaughtered 1,200 people, put babies into ovens, raped women until their bones broke, and you have a country that's fighting back. I think that's a little bit different than what they were protesting back in the day.
Well, yeah, it's a different scenario.
These aren't protests. These are, I don't know what they are. I don't know what you call these things now.
Are they actually, I have, you know me, I don't watch any news. I can't be dragged into that muck, but are they actually burning the colleges down? I literally have not seen anything.
I wouldn't go that far, no. But finally, the police did start arresting some people today. But you could tell these are bought and paid for. You have these same tents, like the same make tent, the same color tents, and everything popping up in different colleges all across the country. You have professional agitators there that are there to cause a problem, and that's what they're doing. And then you have kids that pay 70, 80, 100 grand a year to go to a college that they can't attend classes.
You mean kids' dads? Kids' dads.
Whatever. People have loans. You can't go to class because you're Jewish? These people should be thrown out of the country. You support terrorism. You support violence against a group of people like Jewish people. You should be thrown out of the damn country.
Well, I don't know that I'd throw them out necessarily, but support I think... them. I think in a different world, we would go back to the 30 and 40 years ago principles of assimilation to the traditions of this country instead of coming over here just to tell us how shitty our country is.
Now, the messed up part is Biden will have us all paying for their student loans. These kids that are protesting and promoting violence. I mean, I heard one person on TV today actually call for the end of Israel. Get rid of the country altogether. That's what they want. They want actual genocide where we slaughter Israelis and kill them, kill the Jewish people and get rid of their country altogether. That's what they are promoting. And yet Biden will probably have us paying for their student loan shortly. So my tax dollars will go for that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I get to pay back every nickel that the government gave me to keep my businesses afloat when they shut me down.
Of course. And that's
thanks, Joe.
Believe me, that's on its way again. You're going to be shut down again. There's going to be all kind of.
I won't be.
We're going to talk about this in a little bit because apparently June 6th is the big one.
Yes,
there's going to be something happening, and you know, f them. I'm supposed to go on vacation at the end of June. So if I get screwed out of my vacation once again, I already got screwed out of Disney the last time the pandemic hit. And so, yeah, if I get screwed out of SeaWorld this year because some other bird flu or some earthquake or crap that's supposed to happen, I'm going to be really pissed. I'm going anyways. I swear to God. I'll take one of those tents from one of those college campuses and I'll set it up outside SeaWorld and I will sit there until they open back up.
I think today's one of those days to tighten the tinfoil hat extra tight today. I think we're going down conspiracy hole.
Conspiracy hole. That's what you read on X, so it has to be true.
I know. Well, of course, because I saw it on X. That makes it true.
If you read it on the internet, it has to be true. We have numerous things to get into today. I'm excited about today's show. More than just politics, but we will talk a little bit about the conspiracy stuff.
Yeah, of course.
There's a big debate going on now on the radio show what my nickname should be.
I saw that as well. I saw Bob posting constantly about Sausage Boy on the on Facebook.
Yeah, well, today I also revealed that my love for chicken nuggets, and so now the debate is whether it's going to be Sausage Boy or Nugget.
Oh, that's good.
And he says we have to go with nugget, not chicken nugget, because nugget, you could be a shit nugget as well. So the nickname thing is going on, is raging on, so we'll talk about that as well. Right. But we do have a guest.
We do, and I'm excited about this.
I am excited, too.
I saw
the trailer, and the trailer looks amazing. I have to watch the freaking movie. I need 10 minutes of my life to like calm down, relax, turn on the TV, sit down, and watch a movie.
Well, the movie's great. I did watch it over the weekend. It's fantastic. It's I don't know how to even describe it. I wanted to say at first that it was like so similar to Rockstar, right. But I don't think it is. I think it's a better story. As much as it's not as well-known actors, it's better acting. You know, it's not Jennifer Aniston kind of walking through lines like she did in Rockstar. You know, it's a fun movie. And I think when we bring on our guest, director and actor Todd Tucker, I think we're going to find out that some of this is very, very much real to his life and what he went through.
Right.
So, but we will definitely find out all about that here in a few minutes. But what do you want to do? You want to play the trailer and then get right to it?
Yeah, let's get right to it, because he's been sitting there waiting. I don't want to keep the guy waiting.
Yeah, he's sitting there listening to you bitch and moan about the
world. Last thing I want is to hang up and go, screw this guy.
I'm not coming on that show. That guy sucks.
Yeah. I mean, he can think it sucks. That's not a problem. I'll still promote the movie and everything like that. But I don't want to get like seriously agitated. And, you know,
nah. I don't think so. He's a rock and roll guy. Somehow I don't think words are gonna hurt him all.
I've always been a rock and roll guy until I started in this political world that I live in today. And, that was a lot more fun doing radio where we talked about bands
and stuff.
Concerts exactly. Coming to town. And movies and entertainment, more so than, you know, the burning of America.
That's right. Well, let's play it right now. This is the official trailer. It is rock bottom. If you want to see the movie, it is available right now on Amazon Prime. Go get it. Go. I'm going to say point blank, buy it. Don't just rent it. Buy it. It's worth $10, for God's sakes.
Absolutely.
So buy it, and while you're buying it, pull up Amazon in another screen, and you can watch this interview, and then go right to it at 5:30 when we're done. How's that? So here we go. It's Rock Bottom. It's the official trailer, and we will be back with Todd Tucker from the movie Rock Bottom right after this on The Seth Williams Show.
This is the story of a band called Cougar Snake. This was the moment that Cougar Snake went from top of the world to rock bottom.
Who would you say is your biggest inspiration?
Hands down, Cougar Snake.
Oh my God, yeah.
Cougar Snake has been booked to open for Bryce Cooper this weekend.
Can't do the show without a lead singer.
We could hold auditions.
If you get a man.
Oh yeah.
Can't get enough of your love.
Can't get enough. Yeah.
Are we scared yet? Terrified.
Go on now, go. Walk out the door.
Could you sing?
No, I don't sing in front of people.
I'm begging you, please sing.
Yeah, here I am now, baby. I've been watching you all night long. Oh, yeah.
What the heck?
Whoa! This is one great rock show.
To be honest, I don't think I ever really had what it took to be a rock star.
Maybe it just wasn't your time then. Maybe it's your time now.
Open your heart. Writing's on the wall.
That's what we need, is a little bit more levity.
That's right. Well, you especially, Mr. Yes. Hate.
No hate. All love. Shall we bring our guest on?
Yes, please do.
We welcome actor-director Todd Tucker to the program. And how are you, sir?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
sir.
Awesome. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
I apologize in advance for what you had to hear prior to coming on the show. I'm a little bit fed up with the way things are going, and sometimes you step on some toes when you say the wrong thing. So I apologize if I offended you.
No problem at all. Let me just say one thing. If you are able to take an hour and a half of your day, sit down and watch Rock Bottom, I promise you, you will feel better.
See? I agree. I totally
watching agree. The trailer, I felt better. So I'm happy to do that.
That's awesome.
Well, Todd, let's get into it, man. Tell us about Rock Bottom and tell us about Todd Tucker, because I'm sure people are learning about both for the first time right now.
Oh, well, okay. Long story short, back in 85 to 90, I was in a rock band. I was a drummer lead singer, became a lead singer, was signed and about ready to go on a major rock tour with a major band. And we had an album coming out, and all of a sudden, MTV changed their programming. Everything shifted. Grunge came in, and hair metal literally became the new disco overnight. I went from signing autographs in at a guitar center 1 week to being laughed at for having big curly blonde hair 2 weeks later, literally. Jeez. So I moved to Los Angeles at that point and got into the film industry. I started off as a special effects makeup artist and got really lucky and got to work on Hook and Mrs. Doubtfire and Dracula and all these great films back in the day. And then started transitioning into acting and directing. And then just before COVID hit and shut everything down, my daughter asked me if I would ever be interested in getting my old band back together. And I laughed. I was like, hell no. And then COVID hit and I went, you know what? Now is the time. So I pulled out my drums. I hadn't sang a word or played an instrument in 35 years. I literally shunned it and just listened to movie soundtracks and just kind of was pissed off. Right. And I pulled out my drums and started writing music and writing the script. And 3 years later, I was able to make the movie. We have an original soundtrack with 11 original 80s rock style songs that are all in the movie that it's available on every channel you can think of. It's been great, man. The response has been really cool. You never know with this stuff. You make it and you hope that it works, but it seems to be working. People are digging it, and I'm very happy.
Right on. Well, dude, tell me a little bit about, I want to pick apart some of the things that you said there. Not everybody can just quit one career and step into another at the highest level. You know, I mean, yo, Hook and Dracula, these are not little movies. These are monstrous, massive movies. What was your, like, even skill set to jump into that? I mean, did people assume you could do makeup because you were in a hair band? Or, I mean, how did you get to that point?
No, right? The year before I graduated high school, I met these two guys up in Northern California where I lived, and they were special effects makeup artists, and I was really, really into it. And they were my age. And for about a year, they taught me how to sculpt and paint and mold and do all this great stuff. A guy named Matt Rose and Steve Wang. They came to Los Angeles and designed The Predator, if you remember that one.
Yeah, right? Yeah, sure.
So they were total badasses. So they started the ball rolling while I was back up north doing all the music stuff. And then when I moved to Los Angeles in 1991 or right around there, 1990, they opened the door for me and I started working on a movie with one of them doing special effects makeup. I had been practicing at night all through that time I was a musician because it was like my escape to go in and, you know, sculpt and learn how to do all that stuff. I just loved all that. So it was my nighttime job for the most part. And I was ready to go. I had a full portfolio. So when I went to Los Angeles, I could basically go get a job. And I just got lucky that I got into a studio where I was doing these big profile movies right off the bat.
Right.
How tough was it to give up that music dream, though? I mean, when obviously grunge killed a lot of that 80s hair metal, but how tough was it to sit there and go, all right, now I got to reinvent myself and do something totally different?
I got to tell you, it was very humbling because I swear to you, I was in Guitar Center. We were voted best Bay Area Bay band. We had been playing all over. We were touring. We were really on the verge of just breaking, right? And all of a sudden, I went from being that guy to overnight, it ended. And you want to talk about being humbled? I moved here. I literally was being laughed at and giggled at all the time because I had big John Bon Jovi hair, and it was just, you know, it ended quick. So it was really humbling. So now, even as when I got into the film industry and I started directing and acting and doing this other stuff, if I ever became uber famous, it wouldn't mean crap because I know how quickly it gets ripped away from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. No, you're right, man. Well, dude, when you first got into Hollywood, you know, I'll argue that it's even more cutthroat than the record business. I mean, that's a real cutthroat business on every level. How were you able to not get, you know, ripped off or screwed over or whatever, and land pretty quickly into major roles instead of doing, you know, the film that somebody was doing on a handheld?
Well, actually what happened was I got in and started doing all that stuff and then got screwed over.
Oh, nice.
It didn't happen in the beginning. I had to get in a few years and establish right. myself, and then it happened. It was good timing for me personally. And I was always a real positive, want to have a good time. I was always real positive. So it was relatively easy for me to get into a new situation and pick up stuff fast and learn it fast and be excited about what I was doing. So that kind of helped me move things forward. But I always knew when I came here that I would get into special effects makeup, work on films, do some acting. I played a lot of creatures for years. I puppeteered. I was a huge Jim Henson fan, so I was a puppeteer all my life and got to do a bunch of that. I played a lot of werewolves in movies and stuff. And then I knew I eventually wanted to write and direct my own projects. So I had this long-term goal, and I just kept knocking them off one at a time as years went by. But much like the movie, I just kind of gave it up, like the Jesse character. I just stopped and went and got a new career, started a family, and just kind of never looked back.
Right. How many scripts did you actually write before this one? Is there hundreds or 10 or two, or how many did you write to hone your craft is, I guess, what I'm asking.
Yeah. Rock Bottom or all of them?
Before Rock Bottom. How many did you have to kind of write and learn from before you were able to get this one, you know, produced and on Amazon and, you know, done at a higher level?
Well, I have, this is my third feature film. The film I did before this is a horror drama called The Terror of Hallow's Eve. And it won a bunch of awards. I went overseas and went to Fright Fest in London, and it was the number one film there. Wow. It did really well. So, and then a few years before that, I did a family film called Monster Mutt that was kind of like Harry and the Hendersons type movie. It was for kids. Yeah. And that won a bunch of awards too in the Family Film Festival. And so those three films kind of set me up as I continued to make more projects. But what I do usually for writing these projects is I'll write out like a 30 or 40 page outline of what the story is. And then I'll sit down with another writer, and I'll usually write the screenplay with somebody else so that I can get some good back and forth input. And somebody that's kind of really in that zone of what that script is, you know, if it's comedian, if it's comedy, if it's family, if it's horror. But I've been really lucky to surround myself with the right people and just kind of collaborate a lot. And same thing with the album that we did. I got to pull in all these amazing 80s rockers to do this album with me and record music and write music. And I mean, it was very cool. I got very lucky again.
Now, the music industry has changed so much now, and it's become a lot more difficult for bands because of things like Spotify and Apple Music to make money doing bands and doing music. But it seems to me that the film industry may be better with the technology, because now you have so many different places to stream, like Amazon, and you have places to put your film out, Netflix and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to just putting it out in the theaters. Is it better or worse than it used to be as far as making movies?
Well, it's interesting because if you make a movie and you sell it to a studio, or a studio buys it and runs with it, your movie, you pretty much stand back and the studio does what they're going to do with it, and you pretty much just go for the ride, whatever they decide. I have not been in that place for the most part. My films I've always done independently so that I could I could control it and get it out the way I wanted to. So at this point, when it comes down to how many people can you put it in front of so they know it's available, so they can watch it and pay for it on Prime Video, then really what it comes down to is marketing. And even if a studio picked this up, like a Netflix or one of these guys, if they picked it up, they're not going to really market it because they don't do that. So unless you as a filmmaker have a marketing game plan in place, you have to let people know that the movie exists for anyone to even know it's there. you know. Sure. Otherwise, it just gets lost in the shuffle. And there's so much stuff that is distracting for people to actually know that your product even exists.
Right.
So we did a lot of online marketing because we have some of our stars in the film that are also helping us market online. This is Jake Bon Jovi's first real movie coming out. Right. So he's helped us. And I've got, I do have, even though they're not as recognizable as some of the people in Rockstar, I have a great cast. I mean, my cast is so close to the characters and gave such great performance that I just got really lucky that they are so good that it made the movie that good. And then the album, you know, if you like Journey and Foreigner and Bon Jovi, if you like that style, the album has the extended version of all the songs that are in the movie that you don't hear the vocals or you don't hear all this other stuff. So you get the full album, which is it's pretty damn good. I have to admit.
And let's not just dismiss the record either, because you got some name guys, you know,
playing
on the record as well. That had to be, you know, kind of an honor that they were willing to do that. Was it just phone calls, or did you know them, or how did that work?
So let me give you the list real quick, because it's crazy.
Okay.
So I started off with a friend of mine who had done all the sound design and recording on my other two movies, Jeffrey Allen Jones. He's an amazing musician and composer. So he was my keyboard player, and he's Mr. Wizard in the movie, if you remember.
Yeah.
So Jeff was one guy. And then I had Toshi Yanagi. Toshi is the guitar player for the Jimmy Kimmel Live show.
Right.
He's also been in ABC and all these different bands. He's a huge, he's a total badass. One of the coolest guys I've ever met. Toshi came in after I met Sean McNabb, who I met from his wife, Christine Devine, who is on Fox News.
Right.
Who I knew because I did an appearance as the Grinch at Christmas time.
Nice.
And went with her to give presents to a family that was needy. So sure. I met her. She introduced me to Sean, and Sean McNabb was the bass player for Quiet Riot, for
Dawkins,
a bunch of bands, right?
Really Sons cool of dude. Anarchy, he was on. Mayans, yes. MC was on. Oh, yeah. So I'm friends with Sean, so I'm well aware.
Sean's a badass. So Sean was friends with Toshi. He introduced me to Toshi. And then I also became friends with a guy named Terry Luce. Terry Luce was the lead singer for a band called XYZ and Great White.
Right.
So Terry came in, and he sings one of the songs on the album also. And then I've got, I've also got Kurt Tosse. I've got myself. I played drums, sang one of the songs, and did all the background vocals. And then I also got George Lynch from Dawkins to play guitar lead on one of the songs too. So I just got a kick-ass group of guys to record the music. And it sounds better than I ever expected. So I'm really, really excited about it.
That's awesome.
And my album never came out in the 80s because it all got canceled before it happened. So this is technically my first album ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I want to dig into the movie a little bit, and I just want to tell you, there's one scene in particular in the movie that reminded me literally of an exact experience that I had managing a band in the 90s. It's the scene where you had the singers coming and trying out, which is hilarious. I mean, it really, and I'll tell you why it struck a chord with me. I was managing a band here in Cleveland called Pit. Mm-hmm. I was helping them out, and they needed a singer. They went like a year and a half. They had the band together. They had the songs. No one to sing them, to the point that they were trying to get me to sing them, and that's a big mistake. I mean, that's a big mistake. But I sat in with them for auditions, and they literally had a guy that came in with a bird on his shoulder was one guy. They had another guy that came in with a flute in his pocket, and just, you know, this was like a stoner rock band, and he just pulled out the flute. He's like, boo! And we were like, what are you doing? And then we had a third, and these are right in a row. We had a third guy that came in, and he didn't realize that you could wait before you start singing. So we like handed him the song, and as soon as one note was played, he was like, and then we went to the, just like straight through, and was done before we got to even the chorus.
Man.
It was like, insanity. So when I was watching your movie and you did that part with the guy with the hand puppet and stuff, I was like, holy shit, I've lived this.
It happened to me also, and it must happen a lot.
It must.
That is what you risk when you publicly announce and invite people for an audition.
Right.
It doesn't always turn out the way you would hope it would. No. Yeah, that's a fun scene. There's so many scenes in the movie that I wrote from things that I experienced on one level or another. The fight at the beginning when the guys are fighting just before a show, the going to the old band members who have moved on, because I haven't spoken with any of my old band members, but I kind of have an idea where a couple of them are. And it's just like, you know, it never became any cooler than where we were.
Right.
You know? It was a lot of experiences that I got to pull from, and the characters in the movie too. Jesse is basically me as soon as I got the word that I was no longer a musician and had to move to Los Angeles. So that's me from that point on. Nikki, the drummer, is basically me at 18 when I was just a drummer playing in a bunch of bands and being a singer. And then when we got signed by our record label, they forced me to come up front and be the lead singer and have us get another drummer. But I kept feeling like I was going to throw up when I would come up front because I didn't have my drums in front of me as a shield while I was singing.
Right.
So that's the kid, you know. So I basically just took all these different pieces of what I experienced and threw them into different characters and just tried to make it fun and kind of relatable as much as I could for anybody that experienced that world, you know, and then try to find a way of connecting it to 20-year-old kids and bridging that gap between them and their 50-year-old parents.
All right, so you don't have to name names. I prefer if you do, but you don't have to name names. But who's more difficult to deal with on a day-to-day basis? The rock star, musician guys, or the actors who want everything perfect the way that they want it?
Okay, so I have to be honest, and I swear to God on this. This is not me just kissing butt, okay? I got so lucky on this movie with the actors. I had no attitude. These guys were 100% behind me. They also saw that I was wearing a lot of hats because I was directing while I was playing Nikki and playing drums when we were doing all the the playing in the band stuff. So I had to really have, you know, but I also met with them early on and said, guys, this has to organically come together. So as we're going, tell me if something doesn't feel right. Let's improvise. Let's make this feel good and feel like what you would say as that character if it's not right. And that let them feel much freer. And we came up with a lot of great stuff because of it. So I think they respected the process and that I was letting it happen and giving them some freedom. So everyone had my back. The musicians, I should have had all kinds of problems. I had zero. And I had a guy named Chris Flores who recorded everything for me and helped me produce it and mix it. He was awesome. He just took it to a whole nother level. A guy named Shane Glass, this amazing drummer. I would record all the drum tracks at his place. And he's such a good drummer that he'd be like, hey man, go in and go do this whole thing. And I'd go, yeah, that's great. Let's do that. So I would do it. I mean, everything just got elevated because all these people jumped in and had my back. So I wish I had some negativity to throw at you on this one, but I didn't have it. It just went really well with my guys.
What about before this movie, like when you were doing makeup and all the, you know, the movie stuff, were there big time actors that kind of throw shade at people? What was that Hollywood scene like?
I mean, for this one, we were approaching some bigger names for different characters. But at the end of the day, because I had the final say for the most part, I ended up picking actors that were the right actors. I didn't base it on whether or not they, I don't know. I just made sure it was the right people. And the people that I picked also are very close to their character that they play in the movie. They don't have the same, you know, backstory, but I found people who could do that so that I could let them open the door and take that character to the next level because they're already close enough to it. So it just makes it work for me as a director to organically have actors that feel that way going into it. So that I always get 110% on all my films. My actors always kick ass for me. It's really, that's really awesome. Cool. I've worked though with the big, big actors when I am doing special effects makeup. I've got to work with some of the biggest and I've had great experiences. I've had horrible experiences.
Sure.
It really just depends on what's going on at the time, right. At the moment, usually a lot of times. But it was great training for me as a filmmaker to be a makeup effects artist and then to be an actor and then to then second unit direct first, learn how to direct by second unit directing on films so that I understood the process the way I would do it. But I got lucky too. I got to sit there and watch Steven Spielberg on Hook direct. Yeah, I got to watch. I got to watch all these amazing directors on these big ass films, Cameron and Coppola. I used to just sit there and watch them and study them and see what it was they did that made it work. And it was, I got some great insight. So I'm a little luckier in that respect than a lot of people.
Right on. Dude, I want to talk a little bit about your star, Jake Bon Jovi, for if people don't know, that's John Bon Jovi's kid, you know, and I'm sure he was great. I mean, he was definitely great in the movie. I'm sure working with him, he's probably humble because if I'm not mistaken, this is like his first or second role that he's done.
Yeah, this is his first lead role.
Yeah.
That I know of.
I'm curious for you. Not necessarily for him, you know, he's grown up in celebrity. He sees it. But for you to work with somebody that's going to get a lot more eyes just on him because of who he is, not what he does, did you feel pressure even in the writing to, you know, maybe make sure the character was a little stronger than maybe it would have been if you had, you know, a total unknown in that role?
No, the script was already written. I didn't change it. It was already there. And it was interesting too, because I didn't actually audition him traditionally. I got on a FaceTime call with him and talked to him for about 45 minutes and got really just kind of, how do I say it? Not deep, but just really made sure that he understood what I was doing and see if I felt that connection that he could be that character instinctually. And his vulnerability of not being an actor and not having a lot of experience in acting as far as being in movies and already having all of that background, I'm like, dude, if you use that for this character, it'll work great because you'll be a great actor because you're using real experience and people will totally buy into it and believe it. And he trusted me and I trusted him. He came prepared. He was totally professional. He brought his game. I didn't have to make very many adjustments. And it could have gone really bad if it was anybody else. But sure. I'll tell you, when I got off that Zoom call with him, if I felt that he wasn't going to pull it off, I wouldn't have had him in the movie. Right. I wouldn't. And it didn't matter that his name was Bon Jovi. And I told him and he agreed with me. I said, your last name and your association to anyone famous right now is going to last about 3 seconds once you are on that big screen saying a line of dialogue. Right. And people are either going to instantly say, oh, he's good. Or, oh, that's Bon Jovi's kid. Right. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's up to you, bro. And if you trust me, I'll get you to that point. And he did. And it worked. So
was his dad ever around like saying, hey, lay off the kid a little bit or anything like that?
He's not a 15-year-old kid there, Seth.
No, my dad would do that. My dad was still, I'm almost 50. My dad would say, hey, lay off the kid a little bit.
To be honest with you, I'm not even for sure if his dad's seen the movie. I'm sure he has, but I don't know. But no, he was not around during that time. He had Millie with him a couple times and she was very cool. Very, very nice. So, and she was supporting him quite a bit. And she was really a great support for him to be in this movie. And,
now that's strange. That's Stranger Things, right? Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah. So they're engaged. They're a great couple. And I actually believe they're the real deal. They seemed really, really cool together. So, I wish them a lot of luck, but he came through. He totally came through for me. So I have nothing but good stuff to say about Jake, and he'll have a great career.
Right on, man. And he'll always be able to say, and my first role was Todd Tucker's Rock Bottom.
And his first role, we were in a film festival about a month ago called the Hollywood Reel Film Festival here in Los Angeles. And the film won Best Film. I won Best Director and he won Best Actor. So nice. He got a Best Actor first festival out of the gate.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
Well, Todd, what do you envision? I mean, for now, and I don't want to lean further than too far from now, but obviously right now the movie's on Amazon Prime, which is great because it's easy. I mean, for no other reason, ease. It's just easy. You go on, you push a button, you buy it, it's yours, you know, you have it. Going forward, let's say 3 years from now, once, you know, once you've moved on to the next project and things are moving, where would you like to see your movie land? Would you like it to stay on Amazon? Would you like it to go to the Freevee and the Plex and the Tubies of the world? Where would you like to see your movie land, you know, for a more historical, as time goes by, place?
Well, two things. I can't say when yet. It's happening very soon, but we are setting up right now to do a worldwide release.
Great.
So, and we're going to be on all kinds of different platforms. Right now, it's best to be on as many platforms as you can so that people can get you anywhere, because it's a pay service. So it doesn't really matter for the most part where it is, as long as it's accessible and people know it's there. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I am actually trying to arrange for us to have a Rock Bottom live concert. And maybe even a tour. So for anyone that checks out the album, it's Rock Bottom, the original soundtrack on Spotify and all that good stuff. But it's 11 songs. We're going to do all 11 songs. But it's going to be like a theatrical show with some of the actual actors from the movie, the original band. It'll be a lot of fun. So I'm trying to set that up right now. But I'll keep doing Rock Bottom until I'm not allowed to, because this has been... This has been a dream come true, proving the fact that, you know, dreams can come true at any age, because I'm an old dude. So for me to have something like this happen for me is pretty amazing. So I'll keep milking it as long as you guys want it.
And see, that's a great idea, though, because I mean, like, here they have a concert venue, Blossom, whatever, and they have like the orchestra will play like Jurassic Park or Star Wars or some, you know, crap like that, and they'll show like the movie behind the orchestra on the screen. That'd be awesome to have like the band there and doing like have the movie on and everything. That'd be pretty sweet.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Right now, to see the movie, to have a concert like that, it's a feel good situation, and I think we can all use it right about now.
Absolutely, we can.
Dude, one last quick question about the movie. You named your band about as perfect as a band could be named. I can't believe the name Cougar Snake did not actually exist in the 80s. You know, where did that come from, man? Because what a perfect name.
You know, I was just trying to come up with something that would make you chuckle when you hear it, because it's such a spoof on other bands, obviously, of that time. Even though I honestly was trying to have homage to all of those guys and all those amazing, you know, musicians and all that amazing music, because I hate to say it, and people can disagree with me they want, but the 80s provided the best music and the best movies ever in the history of time.
I agree.
Sorry, but it is what it is. So for me to be able to bring that back on some level and try to just you know, bring a feeling of what I remember when it was back in that day. It's just a good feeling. I just really wanted to have fun myself and see if other people joined in. And people are having 80s rock parties and watching the movie and dressing up and stuff. So people are just having a good time, which is really what I wanted to have happen.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
Well, dude, tell people where we should send them to other than Amazon Prime. I mean, obviously go to Amazon Prime and buy the movie Rock Bottom, no space in it. Make sure you do that or else you get a whole bunch of other things that come up.
But
Rock Bottom is the movie. And where should we tell people to keep up with you and buy the soundtrack and all that kind of stuff?
So the movie right now is only available at Prime Video, but it will, we will be, if you go to the Rock Bottom movie, everything, Instagram, Facebook and all that, we're going to continue giving updates of when other releases are coming out. The album right now is available on Spotify and Apple and every different avenue you can think of. The album's great. And then as soon as we're having a store coming out with merchandise, and we are also going to announce when the concert actually starts moving forward. So we'll just continue putting stuff out and having a good time.
Right on, man. Well, one more time, the movie is called Rock Bottom. It is available now on Amazon Prime. You can rent it. You can buy it. I suggest you buy it. What do you think of that? That way you can watch it more than once.
I like that.
You know? And Todd, man, this has been a lot of fun, man. Thanks for joining us here on the Seth Williams Show.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, Todd.
This is the story of a band called Cougar Snake. This was the moment that Cougar Snake went from top of the world to rock bottom.
would you say is your biggest inspiration?
Hands down, Cougar Snake.
Oh my God, yeah!
Cougar Snake has been booked to open for Bryce Cooper this weekend.
Can't do the show without a lead singer.
We could hold auditions.
If you get a man.
Oh yeah!
Can't get enough of your love.
Can't get enough, yeah!
Are we scared yet? Terrified.
Oh!
Could you sing?
No, I don't sing in front of people.
I'm begging you, please sing.
Yeah, here I am now, baby. I've been watching you all night long. Oh, yeah.
What the heck?
Whoa!
This is one great rock show.
To be honest, I don't think I ever really had what it took to be a rock star.
Maybe it just wasn't your time then. Maybe it's your time now.
Open your heart, writing's on the wall. My love is forever. Roll me away.
You saw it. I have not seen it.
I have seen it.
It looks great. It looks like a lot of fun.
He nailed it with his description. It's just a sit back. It's a popcorn movie. It really is just kind of a sit down with a bowl of popcorn and just kind of laugh. And you know, it's silly and it's got a cool story to it, but it's not at all serious to where you're like, oh man, what's gonna happen? And I'm sad and. Just a fun movie, man. I really enjoyed it. I'm not gonna lie. I bought it because I knew we were doing this, and I was like, all right, I gotta watch it. And then I watched it. I was like, okay, this is. I like I told him, I really expected it to be kind of like Rockstar.
Yeah.
And it was nowhere near as corny and silly as that. It was a lot better than that movie. So.
Yeah, I intended on watching it, but I'm just never home.
Well, that's it. You're always on the go.
I don't remember the last time I was home to actually watch a movie, like ever. And when I get home, I eat dinner and then I'm going to bed.
Right.
I tried to watch something the other night when I went to lay down for bed. And I couldn't. I was like, yeah, forget about it. I sat down. I was going to watch a couple episodes of The Wire.
Right.
I've yet to see The Wire, and everybody says you got to watch The Wire.
You've never seen it?
Never seen it. So I was like, all right, man. I have it on whatever platform it's on. I was like, all right, Max. I think it's on Max.
I'm gonna
watch it. And then didn't make it.
Well, people liked that interview. That was good. Yeah I like Todd. I like Todd a lot. And dude, what a career, huh?
That's crazy.
Like he was all set to be a rock star, then he just jumped right into Hollywood.
I was gonna ask him, but I know that he's married now, family and all that kind of stuff. I was gonna ask him, like, don't you miss though? That those 80s nights out with the band and the hot chicks and
he may not have been at the level to have experienced
all
that.
No, but he said they were touring and stuff like that. I wish we'd asked. I didn't ask him the name of his band. I don't know.
Cougar Snake.
They were right there. They were right there, ready to, hit the scene.
Yeah, and that's... And I'm not smashing Todd. I don't know. But, there's a lot of bands that were right there, for God's sake.
Even those bands are groupies. They're groupies for all those bands. Especially back in the day. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
You hung out in a club with a guitar in your hand and long hair and tight pants. You were getting some groupies.
Yeah. Even our guy John Drake, when his band was hitting, he got chicks.
See? That's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
That guy likes LeBron James and was getting chicks. Yeah.
Well, we always knew he liked dudes, but...
Yeah.
Hi, John. But yeah, that was great. That was really fun. So Rock Bottom, go check it out.
There he is. He's there, isn't he?
Yeah, he's watching. That's why I threw it out there.
Look, I love Star Wars, man. I'm going to Orlando in June, assuming that the world has not ended. And I intend on going to see the Star Wars thing if I can afford it.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, there you go. Rock Bottom. I enjoyed that very much. Bredeza. And dude, since we're talking about guests,
Bredeza, you should have learned to play the guitar. Yeah, my mom made me play the saxophone. It wasn't exactly the groupie getting instrument. Mm. I have gotten like 50-year-old women back in the day playing saxophone. Certainly wasn't getting the hot chicks.
Yeah, I mean, what were you gonna play in Eddie Money's band?
My mom had a thing for, remember that guy in Lost Boys?
Okay. He was playing. Remember Lost Boys?
Kiefer Sutherland? There was a guy playing a saxophone at the carnival. Tim Capella. He was like this big muscle-bound freak playing guitar or playing saxophone.
Is that the same guy that was also in the Mad Max Beyond Thunder, that We Don't Need Another Hero movie or song?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Tina Turner thing?
I don't know.
If it's the same guy, I think I actually saw him perform live because I saw Tina Turner and Glenn Frey at the Coliseum, I think.
Dude is all jacked up and playing.
Yeah, very muscled.
And so, you know, like, then she wanted me to play saxophone. And
what's his name?
Fat turd playing saxophone. Tim Capella.
Tim, Cappella?
Ella, I think, maybe. Look him up with Lost Boys, and you'll see the picture of him.
Tim Capello.
Capello. Okay.
Yeah, this is the same guy.
Is it?
Yeah. This is the guy this is the exact guy that was also in the Tina Turner We Don't Need Another Hero video and was in the Mad Max movies. And well, yeah, of course. That guy could have been playing fucking clarinet and she'd have wanted you to play clarinet.
Yeah, but I wish he was playing guitar. Maybe I could have been cool and gotten chicks back in the day. Yeah. What the hell, dude? Take the picture off. Now my wife's going to want me to play saxophone.
Yeah, I bet he don't look like that now.
No, he's shriveled up and old now.
That's what I'm sticking to, goddammit. He doesn't look like that now.
Before we talk about our next guest that's coming up on Wednesday,
yes,
I'm gonna say a quick happy birthday to my dad. And my dad's birthday is tomorrow.
Was he about 40?
About plus 35, yeah.
Wow, the big 7'5".
Big 7'5" tomorrow.
Is Mr. Williams healthy?
He's doing well.
So he's doing good? Good.
Happy birthday to my dad tomorrow.
Good for him. Well, happy birthday, Mr. Seth. I hope you live to be 175.
Come on, I got an inheritance coming. Don't 175 is pushing it. As long as you can, but, you know, it's like 100 years. I'm not going to live 100 years.
Are you worried about inheritance?
Well, how are you going to get, you know, how am I going to get by the rest of my life?
Dude, I literally told my mom. Job? My mom, I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she's on her way. She's literally on a plane right now to Spain right now.
Wow.
You know, she's going traveling to Spain, and she's like, eh, you know, I hope you and your brother don't mind that I'm spending this money. I was like, Mom, go spend every penny of that money. That's yours. I'm not waiting for you to die so I can, pay off my house.
Like, I'm not saying, my house is paid off, so I'm not worried about that. I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I love my father. I'm wishing him a happy birthday.
I like your dad.
I feel like I'm catching up to him in age by the second.
Right. Too funny.
I'm falling apart, and that guy's 75, and he's going to outlive me.
Right. Dude, he's 75. He's on Facebook. He's watching online shows and stuff. God.
You understand. Like, he's like the hip 75. He's not like old grandpa 75. Like, mm-hmm. If technology comes out, he's got to have like the new thing. He still drives around in like a nice ass convertible.
Nice.
He'll wear even like racing gloves to drive out if it's cold outside because he's just, you know, he has a convertible down and.
He's got the stylish old man fedora, too, so he can look just a little more cool.
He's that guy, yeah.
Ah, I love that. That's awesome. That's hilarious. Oh, man. So, yeah, anyway, our what the hell?
Why would he put that on there?
I don't think he realizes that your dad's an author.
John. Poor old human being.
That's mean. Or not mean, maybe. Depends on which side of that you land on, I guess.
That LeBron James loving John Drake.
That's just pathetic.
Did you ask him about that? Did he admit to it?
No, I could care. To spit that guy's name out of my face hurts.
John Drake actually said on Facebook the other day, LeBron James is the best basketball player he's ever seen. Now, you want to trust him on giving us Browns reports and talk about how great the Browns are? He thinks LeBron James is the best basketball player ever.
Well, apparently his family didn't have TV before Michael Jordan retired. That's the only thing I can think of. And apparently he never saw Kobe Bryant play either. Because both of those guys are better than stupid LeBron. I love, dude, I don't know if you do this or not. I'm such a hater of LeBron. I love that there's all these videos now of just him crying. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Just like every game, him crying about stuff and flopping and
laying on the ground.
Laying on the ground, yeah. And taking like 8 steps to the basket and no traveling being called. I was watching one, and I guess it was from whatever series they're in right now. He was facing like away from the crowd or at the crowd, and he did a spin move into the lane and took 6 steps. They counted it. They put the numbers behind it.
Yeah.
6 steps and then put it in the hole. And they're just like, and every player on the other team is like, traveling. Nope. It's LeBron. He gets away with it. LeBron stinks.
He does. He's terrible.
Delonte West.
Kobe Bryant was a better player.
Yes.
Magic Johnson was a better player. Kareem was a better player. Michael, by far, a better player.
Shit, Larry Johnson was a better player. Let's just be real. LeBron gets away with it because they want him to be LeBron.
Yeah.
I say Steph Curry's a better player.
Without a doubt.
There's a lot of players better than LeBron.
Larry Bird was a better player.
Of course.
There's a list a mile long of better players than.
Yeah. Can you imagine him getting hit like those guys did in the 80s?
Oh, my God. If he had to play against those Pistons teams, he would have survived.
He would have died.
Yeah, he would have died. He literally would have died on the court.
Yeah.
Bill Laimbeer would have killed him.
Delonte West was a better scorer than LeBron. That's all I got to say.
Now you're just pushing his buttons.
Yeah, of course.
To get under his skin. Delonte West's mom was a better player than LeBron James.
Well, I said Delonte was a better scorer. I didn't say it basketball.
LeBron is an all-around player, though.
Oh, please.
LeBron
all-around player.
Been in the game.
You know what? I personally will take a 6-time MVP and a 2-time defensive player of the year and 6-0 in the finals over a 2-6 in the finals?
Yeah.
And never been a good defensive player and has had numerous times where people have accused him of quitting because he stinks so bad. LeBron James, bum.
On top of that, he lied about racism when he had somebody spray paint his own garage so he can bitch about the cops more.
Yeah, screw LeBron. 4 titles ain't 6, John.
Oh, I loved when he got on the stage.
He's not a good defender. He's never been defensive player of the year.
He's a terrible defender. I remember when he got on stage when he was talking about with the Heat. He's like, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4. Then he quit and went to the Lakers and can't win shit over there because even we didn't anything.
Right. Hold on. I'm choking over here.
Right.
Just hearing this blasphemous talk about LeBron being the best player of all time.
Terrible.
Making me cough, making me choke.
Almost as bad as Star Wars.
All right, Jim, no one's going to know this reference, you old piece of shit. Jesus Christ. Nate Thurman is a better player. Would you like to trot out your reference to, God, I don't know, Oscar Robertson?
Choking on your shit.
John can play. He can play along, that's for sure.
Yeah, John Drake. Yeah, Star Wars is as bad as LeBron James. They're both terrible.
Star Trek is better.
Absolutely it is.
Better characters, better writing.
Captain Kirk was better than Luke Skywalker any day of the week.
Any day. I'll tell you who was better. I'll take Khan over Darth Vader every time.
Without a doubt. And at least Star Trek had hot chicks on it.
That's right.
Not like that lesbian-looking Princess Leia.
That's right. What's her name? Ripley. You know, what's the girl's name now in the new one?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever her name is.
I haven't watched those. They're so bad.
Yeah, they're so bad. And, I mean, she can't hold a candle to Uhura. Not even a candle.
I feel bad for John. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
I have all the respect in the world for that guy.
Oh, I'm glad you have some.
Just not when it comes to LeBron James.
Yeah, not with LeBron. That's terrible.
No, he's just terrible.
All right, I don't know how we got to this point, but we have another guest on Wednesday, right?
We do. We have a big-time guest, in my opinion. The original Bo Duke, John Schneider, is going to be joining us at 4:30 on Wednesday. He's got some 20 albums. He's a patriot, no doubt. There's a lot to talk to him about.
We're only
limited time with him, but I want to talk to him and talk about. He's going to be playing at the Lorraine Palace Theater.
Right, where we saw Michael Francis.
Yeah, Saturday, May 25th.
That's cool. That's great.
And so go check him out. I think it's going to be a fun show.
Absolutely. He's going to
play his music. I'm sure that I think he takes questions from the audience and stuff like that. And I was going to order a Dukes of Hazzard shirt from Amazon.
Right.
Or wear for the interview because I think it would have been fun.
Couldn't find it.
I could find it, but I couldn't get it here in time. That sucks. But.
I'll just say Dukes of Hazzard far greater than The Mandalorian.
Oh, no doubt. No.
Way better. Daisy Duke smokes Princess Leia.
Can you even question that?
Yeah, I mean, that's either Daisy Duke, even the Jessica Simpson Daisy Duke, smokes Princess Leia. Oh, I'm so hurt.
He gets personal.
Yeah, well, whatever. You should see him now with the new hair that he's growing. Looks like a fucking retarded Jack Black.
With my prosthetic leg, I could outplay LeBron James.
There you go. Perfect. That's right.
Notice I didn't get a Star Wars logo on my leg there, John.
Yeah, of course not.
Because it sucks.
That's right.
But, yes, John Schneider will join us on Wednesday at 4:30.
That's going to be great.
Looking forward to that. Hopefully. Now that I said that, we'll jinx it and he won't show up.
Yeah, he won't show up.
It is what it is. It sounds good to say it now. So there you have it.
That's hilarious.
Maybe John would like to weigh in on what my nickname should be.
He won't.
Did you see that post?
I did, yeah. I saw it.
Look, I don't know how this became a thing.
I do. You reacted to it, and Bob knew it, so he keeps banging on that door.
Okay, look, all I said was during a break, all I said was, we're talking about pizza for some reason, and I said pepperoni is overrated, that sausage is by far the greatest pizza topping that there is.
Right.
And at that point, Bob decided that he was going to nickname me Sausage Boy.
That's right.
Then somebody, I guess, asked one of the other producers about me and chicken nuggets, and I explained my chicken nugget story. And now it's a debate over whether I'm Nugget or Sausage Boy. There's the post that he has on Facebook.
See, you shouldn't have reacted. You should have said, I'll just be both. Then he wouldn't have nothing to play with.
Well, I tried, like, Sausage Nugget Boy or something. No, it's either or.
No. Should have said, I'll be sausage and nuggets. What do you think of that? It's a dick joke!
Yeah, I know it is. And I'm talking about all these sausage parties that I'm having. And
of course.
Then I think he actually called it the Sausage Boy and Chris Show.
Oh, that's good. I like the new name. I'm going to change the graphics for Wednesday.
The Sausage Boy and Chris Show. I mean, look.
I'd like to thank Bob for mentioning me on WHK. Thank you.
But then he wants to call me like the peg leg sausage boy. So I got the greatest text ever today from somebody when we were talking about this on the show.
Right.
They say, oh, Seth, man, it's so good to hear you on Bob France. Love the show. It's great that you're back on the radio, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, it seems like Bob France has a lot more respect for you than Mike did. In trip.
Jesus.
And I'm sitting, wait a second. He just called me a one-legged sausage boy nugget and said that I only could be called nugget because it could be a poop nugget or a chicken nugget. And they're telling me that he has respect, more respect than Trip did for me. All right. I guess I'll take it.
That is funny. Yeah, whatever, dude. You're getting airtime. That's good. It's good. Nothing wrong with that.
A and B.
He's right again. Wait a minute. That can't be right. Did somebody take over John's screen? Because he wrote something that made sense.
Yeah, Italian sausage is the best pizza topping. You're 100% correct there. Of course I am.
I can't believe John said something correct.
Do you like, what do you like on a pizza? Have you got
sausage
today?
Right. Sausage.
See?
I'm not, I told you on the phone the other day. I'm not pepperoni. The only time I really like pepperoni is when you like buy it in the store.
Yeah.
And eat it like right out of the fridge. Like cold. I'm good with that, but on pizza it just makes it too greasy and gross.
First of all, I'd like to point out that by definition, pepperoni is a dried sausage.
Okay.
And so, you know, if you want to say that pepperoni is the best, you're basically saying sausage is the best pizza topping. I mean, that's what it is. It's a dried sausage.
Yeah.
I picked up a pizza at the store the other day. I went to Costco, right? And I got like a. Mm-hmm. And on the box, the toppings are sausage and pepperoni. Sausage being the first listed on the thing. Pepperoni sausage, cheese is the way to go. Look, I'm not saying I would turn down pepperoni. If somebody wanted to give me a slice of pepperoni right now, I'd eat it.
Right.
But I'm not going to say it's my favorite topping. If I had to get a pizza today, I'd get double sausage and mushrooms.
Yeah, that's good. I'd eat that. But you got to have the double cheese.
One guy said, cut up hot dogs and french fries on his pizza.
Ew.
I've never even heard of that. Another guy said ham and pineapple, all these Hawaiian pizza things.
Yeah.
Joe Burdick, you know, make Burdick custom flags.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Said ham and pineapple. He texted me the other day. He said ham and pineapple. I mean, I've had pineapple once in my life, and it was okay. It wasn't the greatest thing I've ever had, but it's not a fruit that I'm jumping for joy. Yeah. Now you're telling me you're going to grill it, make it hot, and stick it on cheese? No, I'll pass.
It's not bad. I've had that many times. It's not awful, but it is kind of a... Pineapple to me is an odd choice because it's a sweetness on a pizza. You know, it's like you might as well just put a bag of sugar on it.
Yeah, I don't understand. But look, I don't mind a sweeter sauce like on a pizza. That's not bad. I don't need something really spicy.
Yeah.
But as far as toppings go, I don't want something like that. But I'm not. Look, I don't eat peppers at all. So I, like putting green peppers or banana peppers, anything like that on, I'm not going to eat.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty basic. You know, some girl texted me the other night and said anchovies.
Yeah. Anchovies. Gross.
I don't even know what an anchovy tastes like.
Vomit.
I doubt it tastes like vomit.
It's not good. It's not good. Well, would you like to watch, since turning it back to the world, I'm going to try and keep you in an uplifted mood. Would you like to watch a dumbbell liberal getting arrested for being a dumbbell liberal?
I always like to watch that.
All right. I have this video that I brought to the table, especially for you today.
I'm excited.
So I'll give you the quick setup, and then we'll watch this video. It's a little long. It's like 3 minutes long, but we'll stop along the way, I'm sure. this guy saw a car with a Let's Go Brandon sticker on it. So he decided to key the car.
Oh, you know what? I think I did see this video.
Did you see this? It's
I think I did.
Hilarious.
But it is awesome. It's worth playing.
It's worth playing. So check out this guy, getting arrested for being stupid. And thank God the police actually did something instead of saying, hey, don't do that again. Because I think they say in the video, too, he did like $6,000 of damage to the car.
Yeah, watch this guy.
Yeah, it's great. So let's check it out here. Here we go.
How are you?
Good.
Stop.
So I'm guessing you probably know what this is about, right?
Zero, Victor Alpha.
No. I just checked my truck to see if I hit anything.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm investigating a criminal. It's a criminal investigation, okay? So before I ask you anything, I'm going to read you your rights real quick. Okay, and then I'm going to show you a video, and you can tell me if you remember what it's about after that.
Now, right at this point, what do? If this is you,
I have to admit to what I did because I don't want to sit through the embarrassment of knowing that he has now video of me doing what he's going to accuse him of doing.
I think right here is where I stop and say, I think I want a lawyer.
Probably a good move too.
I don't sit there and go, okay, well, you're going to read me my rights, but then you're going to get me to talk to you. No. You can talk to the lawyer. I know it's inconvenient, but
at one point you have to realize that you're just screwed. You messed up. You know what you did, and you got to just say, yeah, all right.
Even still, but I'm going to tell you why I disagree with you firmly on that. Because you don't know what else they're investigating. Even if you know that you keyed this car, maybe there's a string of them and you're not involved with them, and they're going to try and pin them all on you, and they're going to get you to admit to one and then almost do it RICO style and say, well, there was 15 other cars that were damaged. Even if you're saying no, you're on tape saying yes.
If they have video of one, then that's the one I'm going to cop to.
But again, if you cop to one and then you don't cop to the other, what are they going to believe? At least if you have a lawyer will be like, all right, let's settle this for, you know, misdemeanor property damage or something. You know, I agree with Scott there. Always lawyer up. I'm short of a traffic stop, always lawyer up. And if they ask you any questions at a traffic stop, I say lawyer up.
We'll get back to the video. It's like one thing I've been watching lately.
Yeah.
A lot of in my downtime is these auditor videos.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, these guys are just standing like on sidewalks taking video and pictures of like businesses and stuff. And then people try to call the cops on them and
the
cops come and say, yeah, they're allowed to stand there all day long, take pictures if that's what they want to do.
Right.
So these auditor videos are becoming very, very popular. But I think a lot of dumbasses are going to go out there be one of these people and are going to get thrown in jail. So don't do it.
Oh, yeah. Just don't do it. I agree.
Video.
Sorry. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
1125 Goodfire.
You have the right to remain silent.
Okay.
Having these rights in mind, do you wish to talk to us now?
Yeah.
Okay. So anything you don't want to answer, you don't have to. Okay. So I'm going to show you a video real quick, and I'm just going to see if it jogs your memory about what happened in Winn-Dixie on Sunday night.
See if it jogs your memory. Here's you. Here's your keys. All right. Here we go.
I was at Winn-Dixie to pick up some coffee and key lime pie.
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember what you did when you walked out of Winn-Dixie? To the green Toyota Tundra? It was not raining.
Okay, I don't recall. Yeah, I thought it was raining. But
okay, the green Toyota Tundra pickup truck that you walked up to? You don't remember what you did?
I walked by a truck, yeah.
Okay, what did you do to it?
I scratched it.
Why?
Was
it the bumper sticker? Because they've got a ton of security footage there, man.
Okay, so
I see you walking behind it, and you look over at it, and she's got a sticker that says "Let's go, Brandon" or something.
Yeah, I guess it infuriated me.
Okay.
Yep.
So, what makes you think you have the right to damage this guy's property, you dick?
Because these people get triggered. I've never seen anything like this where somebody gets triggered over a man in my entire life. It's like a sickness.
Yeah.
This guy is sitting here, obviously has a nice house, nice area that he lives in, nice truck and everything, got a wife, and is so triggered by a bumper sticker, he feels the need to. It wasn't even a Trump bumper sticker. Huh? It was just a F. Brandon, Joe Biden sticker.
Yeah.
He's so triggered.
It's amazing to me. And he's probably going to do jail time over this. What an idiot. And he lied to the cops, too, now on tape. Again, that's why you lawyer up. Because this guy, he wasn't going to tell the truth. And he didn't lawyer up, so now they got him lying on tape. Ugh, what an idiot. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Was that it? That's the only reason you did it? You don't know who owns the truck or anything?
Yeah, that's the only reason I did it.
Okay. So you went on the path. I could see you go on the passenger side, and you left a big scrape on that side, and then I saw you do a circle in the parking lot and come back to it and then go to the...
That's the only side I did.
Okay. She's already got a few dents and stuff on it, but she somehow knew that those were new scratches. And I can see like something black in your left hand.
Yeah.
I won't was know. It a key I or did it. Was it a key?
No, it's my key box. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have that with you? It's in the truck?
Yeah.
Do you have your ID with you as well? Do you know which key you used?
No, I have no idea.
Okay. I'm guessing you know it's expensive to repaint a truck.
You're gonna have to repaint the truck. Stupid, idiotic, and I am gonna get stuck in the truck.
I'm guessing you knew why I called you.
Well,
do you even
honestly, at first I didn't recall. I couldn't even. There was no date. 3/24. Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was Sunday night.
Sunday. Yes, I went there to get called the.
Okay.
And it's stupid thing to do, but this whole. No chance.
Okay, so, Mr. Brothers, here's the unfortunate news. She wants to press charges, so I have to take you to jail, sir. So I need to turn around. Or exchange it back. Yeah, I'll take it off.
Good.
Okay.
Do you want her to take anything from you?
Well, she needs to get the individual to the airport, so.
Okay. Do you want her to take your car keys?
Yes.
I mean, dude, it costs about $6,000. It's a felony when you damage someone's property.
There you go.
It continues too. Like his wife is like, "What did you do?" His wife is all pissed off.
I'd imagine she is pissed off because like, he's gonna. I mean, think about it, dude. This guy getting fucking triggered over a bumper sticker is gonna cost minimum. $6,000 to paint the truck.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to cost minimum, what, $3,000 for an attorney?
The court fees, everything else.
Court fees. And that's if he gets off.
And then they said, and when the video continues, that he wasn't going to be able to get out until like the next day or two because court was already closed. And so he has to go sit there overnight. He had to do it overnight. And his wife was like, "Not till tomorrow." And he's like, "Well, yeah, the courts are closed. I'm sorry. There's no other hearings until like the next day or two." And she's like, "All like taken back." But yeah, this is what happens. This is what's going on.
Well, it's what should be happening more.
Look, I saw a video the other day.
More of this.
It was a college campus because these kids are fucking nuts. But there's an anti-abortion rally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the left can't stand to see something that they don't like. And so this girl. College girl goes up and grabs one of the signs from out of one of the guys with the rally.
Okay.
And she starts walking off with it. He's like chasing her down and saying, "You can't take my sign." And he calls over a police officer that was right over there because they were, you know, surrounding the area. And they go up to her and said, "You can't just take his sign." He's like, "Well, I don't agree with this." And the cop's like, "I don't care what you agree with." And he says, "Put your book bag down, turn around, you're under arrest." And she was freaking out and starts crying. Look, you dumbass. You can't just go walking and taking people's stuff.
Yeah.
Because you don't like it doesn't mean that you can take what you want.
Yeah.
And Cry about it in jail, you dumb broad.
And they would be the first ones to bitch if you did it back.
Of course they would.
If they were getting ready to throw a brick through a window... and you grab the brick and said, "Hey, don't throw that through my fucking business window." They'd be pressing charges against you for stealing their brick.
This is what happens. The left gets different kind of treatment for the most part, but I'm glad to see the tide is turning. Look, I've seen so many videos of conservatives like Charlie Kirk and that going to college campuses, and they're just trying to have inside of a hall, not on the street yelling at people, inside of a hall to their supporters, trying to have some sort of a rally or whatever you want to call it, an event. And people will break windows, they'll smash down doors and try to prevent them from speaking. Usually it works. And nobody arrests those people.
Right.
And then if you got these people that are protesting Israel, death to Israel, death to America, and we're supposed to just let them sit there on college campuses and intimidate Jewish people as they walk around. You know, this world has turned upside down. It's time to get back to a little morality in this country.
Come on, that's not not at all, Seth. Not even a little bit.
Then you can move. Will you move?
We're not engaging in that.
Okay, we're going. We're going. I'm going in. I have my hands up. I'm not hurting them. You guys have closed the entrance. We are UCLA students. I have my ID right here. I'm being blocked off, not by the security guard, but by you two. You three. Oh, look, they're making their burger while I'm going this way. Excuse me. This is what they do. Everybody, look at this. Look at this. I'm a UCLA student. I deserve to go here. We pay tuition. This is our school. And they're not letting me walk in. My class is over there. I want to use that entrance. Well, I can't take it. Will you let me go in? This could be over in a second. Just let me and my friends go in to class.
He ought to just knock them over and go.
Yes.
Just push them out of the way.
I'm looking up the story right now. I think there was a body cam. There was like somebody pulled a sword on a cop.
They pulled a sword?
Yeah, they're one of these protesters. Like, you can't. What is going on in this country?
Where's the? Even if you don't want to shoot them dead, where's the beanbags? Where's the rubber bullets?
Why don't we start shooting people?
Shoot
them in the legs and drag them off the campus.
Yeah, I'm not opposed. So it's UCLA, UCLA. Awesome. Cop.
Somebody told me this morning.
What is it, machete or a
sword?
Sword. Let's see if I can.
Last election, my Trump sign got stolen out of my yard by some lefty. Got another one put about an 8 foot in a tree.
Right, let's see here.
Present. I saw somebody that actually had their Trump sign electrified. So trying to take it.
Here you go. Jesus!
Yes!
You need to cooperate, okay? A sword, bro? A sword, bro? What the fuck are you doing, pigs?
Everyone, please stand back.
Pigs?
Please stand back.
Fuck you.
This is for the protection of everybody, okay?
Fuck you, pig. Pulling out a gun is for the protection of who? You just turned your body cam on? You just turned it on?
I just wish this guy'd come over with the sword, just cut his fucking head off.
So out of control, man.
Fuck you. That's why I could never be a cop. I would never have my body cam on. I would keep it taped up and just be fucking hitting these guys with metal batons in their teeth.
I think today Biden goes on one day and says, yeah, we support Israel, and they give them aid and everything else, and we support Israel, they're our friends. Then they condemns them and says they committed war crimes. This guy that's in office is a fool and a maniac.
No way. He's Howard Stern told us last week. He's the father of our country.
The great Howard Stern.
Did you see that nonsense? He said, he's the father. And he made us feel fathered or whatever.
Howard Stern is such a shell of what he used to be, man. It's so sad.
It's pathetic.
And it's really depressing for somebody that loves radio the way that I do to see somebody like that just be such a ignorant bag of bones he is. Like him and Biden would actually, I mean, I guess I see why him and Biden get along, because they're like the same thing. They're old bag of bones fools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad. It's really sad to see where he's gone. I mean,
it is. It's
like, I may have 8 listeners and I can give a shit less. Howard can have whatever he make $100 million a year. I know going to bed that I'm a better person than that fuck.
Yeah. He really has proven himself to be a douchebag. That's for sure. That is for sure. It's really sad, because he's basically shit on everything that everybody worshipped about him.
Yeah. And like, again, I don't know where he went wrong. I mean, I don't know if it was COVID or just the money. Maybe the money changed him. But he used to stand for something, and now he stands for just ignorance and stupidity. I mean, if you watch that fucking interview, it was pathetic. It was a pathetic interview.
Yeah, it was awful.
That was what he was known for, is being able to interview, and it was really, really bad.
Yeah, now he's towing the party line.
He is.
Dude, did you see this video of this guy? He was beating up an undercover cop, and while the guy was on the ground, he pulled out his gun and shot him in the balls?
No. I did not see that one.
Do you want to see this one?
Yes, I, of course I do.
This is another one making the rounds right now. Check this out. Oh. Oh, shit.
I'd rather be shot in the face, dude. I'd rather be shot in the face than shot in the balls.
That's brutal. But you know what? Stop being an asshole on the beach.
Yes.
Stop trying to be a fucking bully. Got exactly what he was what he was doing. X is the awesome place. Though. X is the place, man.
I watched some of the White House Correspondents Awards.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that, the one guy on Saturday Night Live. That's all I saw.
Clint Eastwood gave a hell of a speech. It was I liked that one.
I didn't see it.
It was pretty good. Yeah. I don't know if we have time for it. Maybe we could play that on Wednesday in our bonus segment.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, just send it to me between now and then. And
yeah, don't forget Wednesdays now. To remind people, go to minds.com, MINDS.com/Seth Williams Show. Sign up for the extra content. You get an extra half hour every week of the show. Only cost you $4.99 a month or $50 a year.
Yeah.
$50 a year. There will be extra content on there. I was all set to post extra content yesterday, Chris. And then I went to log in and I forgot the password and I looked for it in our text messages.
How do you not remember the password?
Well, I remember because I texted you, why did you put that in the password?
Yeah, I was going to say, but that was the whole reason.
I tried a bunch of different
framings of it and it didn't work. So I'll send it to you.
You need to send that to me again. All right. But yes, we are going to do extra content. But at the very least, you get an extra half hour every single week of the Seth Williams Show with Chris Haken.
That's right. There. Well, check this out.
There's plenty of places to experience the Seth Williams Show. But if you want all the content, you need to join us on Minds. Get all the live episodes of the show every Monday and Wednesday from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Get the special bonus footage every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Get bonus content from Seth and Chris as it's produced. It's only $4.99 per month, so don't wait. Sign up today. Visit us at www.minds.com/Seth Williams Show.
See, it's that easy.
Look at that.
It's pretty easy, right?
Where's that commercial at?
It's right. It's in there. It's under Tony's commercial, Seth's Show on Minds.
I got to put that on my, I got to put it like on Facebook and stuff.
Well, I'll send it to you.
Advertise a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Although you try to advertise anything on Facebook, you get like 3 likes, dude.
Yeah. Well, people don't want to like that. Instead, they'd like to like a picture of you looking at a bird or some shit.
That's just it. But I mean, I think it's more of the algorithms of Facebook. They don't push that shit out.
Well, they don't. They see that you're trying to do something without boosting your post, and they're not letting that happen.
I post a picture of me with my stupid-looking, shit-eating grin on and wearing the same sweatshirt that I wear in every picture that I take, and that'll get 100 likes. And then I put out something to advertise for the show or something, and it gets 2.
Right. Link to go right over. You can watch the show live there if you want to. The whole show is there on Wednesdays and on Mondays, actually. It's live right now on Minds.
But do you have to...
You don't have to subscribe.
5:30, does it stop and then you have to pay for the extra half hour?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're not a subscriber, then you won't get that extra half hour.
What's the Supercast thing? We haven't talked about that much. What is that?
If you're a pod, right now? No, we can talk about it. If you're a podcast person, you like doing your shit for podcasts like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or, you know, Spotify or whatever, you can sign up for Supercast and you get a private link where you get all the bonus content as part of it. And the other perk, which I've had a lot of people say that they like, is I cut the show up into segments on the Supercast so that instead of having an hour and a half or a 2 hour block, they get like 20 minutes of content of, you know, this interview and like the interview we did today. And then they would get, you know, us busted on John Drake. And then they would get another segment of us showing that guy getting shot in the balls and stuff,
which is the best video ever.
But it would be segmented into two or three parts that are a little more manageable on podcast form for people that like listen to podcasts in their car, going to work or coming home, that kind of thing. You don't have to have the full 90 minutes and then scroll back and forth to wherever you left off.
See, I would love to do like an entire episode of nothing but talking about Howard Stern in hopes that Howard would like, somebody would send it to him and then he'd make fun of us for being, you know, fat guys that have no listeners. And then, you know, we would become like super popular.
Yeah, that won't happen. He's way too self-absorbed to give like, anybody else any attention at
all. He made fun of me one time on his show.
Really?
Yeah, I was doing a stupid bit. It was a dumb bit for a morning show that I was on. And they had me like on a side of I-90. Because somebody, there was a traffic report where there was a dentist chair on the side of I-90.
Okay.
And they wanted me to go sit in the dentist chair on the side of the highway. And they were going to send somebody out with me to, like, inspect my teeth and do it, like, live on the air when I'm sitting in a busted up dentist chair on the side of the highway during rush hour.
Right.
And they got back to him somehow. There was some stupid morning show doing some stupid bit thing. And so he talked about it, and I was happy that he talked about it.
Yeah, but that's the old days.
That was the old days.
The old guys. New
Howard did that.
Yeah, New Howard doesn't want nothing to do with that. He's like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not gonna give those COVID deniers any love. I want them dead.
I'm not a COVID denier. I'm a vaccine denier.
Yeah, he wants you dead. He said so. He said that point blank on his show.
Oh, that's right.
They can die.
That's why I was worried about Todd Tucker.
Nah.
Because a lot of people in Hollywood are very left of center.
Yeah, I don't know what his politics are, but I don't think he cares.
He was very nice. I want to thank Todd Tucker. Actor, director Todd Tucker. Movie Rock Bottom, available on Amazon Prime currently. I want to thank him for coming on the show today. Don't forget Wednesday. Bo Duke, John Schneider. Will be joining the show. He's a patriot, country star, actor, and he'll be hanging with us for a few.
That's great. And Tony, of course.
Tony Mustachio, of course, will be joining us.
That's right.
And Wednesday, you will get that extra content if you are a subscriber of Minds, MINDS.com/Seth Williams Show. You'll get the extra content on Wednesday as well.
Cool.
Everybody, thank you for listening tonight. And thank you, Chris, as usual. And God willing, we will talk to you on Wednesday. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
You got that out thingy?
I do.
Because I don't have anything.
All right. I got it. All right.
We'll see you.
See you, folks.
There's plenty of places to experience the Seth Williams Show, but if you want all the content, you need to join us on Minds. Get all the live episodes of the show every Monday and Wednesday from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Get the special bonus footage every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Get bonus content from Seth and Chris as it's produced. It's only $4.99 per month, so don't wait. Sign up today. Visit us at www.minds.com/Seth Williams Show.